Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now, this is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box, two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show for another week here with Nick and myself in the Gal Media Studios. As we roll through the final 60 minutes, headlines, Astros back home tonight to start a three-game series against the Blue Jays. George Springer not only going to miss this series on the IL, but they're expecting him to miss significant more time with his second big injury of this season so far. So disappointing, but he is on the trip. I think he's doing an interview with Julia Morales. That will air at some point. So those are all good things. The fact that the Astros hopefully now can capitalize on some big moments yesterday against the Yankees to try and start connecting some wins and winning some more series like they were doing before the Yankee series. Rockets are in Milwaukee to take on the Bucks. They're 16-50. They have the worst record in basketball. They just need to keep doing what they are doing, and that is losing. And with the way guys are just falling off the roster on a daily basis with injuries and COVID possibilities, it doesn't look like it's going to be too big of a problem, especially against the 42-24 Bucks that are now right there in the thick of things with the Nets and the Sixers for the top seeds in the East. And it looks like Milwaukee with the tiebreaker and with Brooklyn losing its fourth straight game last night to the Mavs, the Bucks are in position to get that 2 seed and thus avoid a second-round matchup with either Philly or Brooklyn. So.
I'm not going to watch the game, but I would imagine the Bucks will win by at least 10 points. That would be my guess.
10?
Yeah.
Good Lord. I don't know what the spread is, but you got to give me more than 10.
You think they lose by more than 10, which is possible. I mean, they need the W. They're a significantly better
spread
team than the Rockets.
16.5.
But, man, basketball odds are weird, dude.
They are. But, look, we were on a roll for like a month and a half with those Rockets games, just betting against the Rockets. And then when there was ones where I was just, I didn't feel right about it, I even warned you about that. But for the most part, we ran off a really good run of picking the games against the spreads right when it came to the Rockets.
We had a fantastic run.
10, Nick, is not enough for Milwaukee. They're deep. When he sprained the ankle here, that's in Milwaukee, too. I don't think it's going to be a close game. 16.5, though. That's a lot of points, man.
That's a lot of points. I mean, look, I wouldn't
taking the Rockets in the points.
Yeah, I don't think the Bucks covers. I don't think they win by 17 points. I could be wrong.
Did you see who's playing?
No, I don't. That's another thing.
Think about it. Porter Jr.'s out. Probably still holding Christian Wood out. Jayshon Tate's probably not playing under the health and safety protocols. It's better to ask who is playing than who isn't. Armani Brooks is playing. Does that make you feel better? Wall's not playing.
Well, we know that.
16.5 might be very easily attainable.
All right. Yeah. I mean, look, it's not going to be surprising if the Bucks do beat them by 17 points. Look how late we are in the season. And like I said, they're a significantly better team. A lot of those games, they're not losing because they're tanking. A lot of those games they lost because they suck. I mean, it's just...
But at least they're competitive for 3.5 quarters before they fall off the planet. I mean, even against Philly here, they kept it within 10 to 12 points for most of the... through three quarters, and then just the wheels fell off late at the very end of the third. But with the loss last night, as I was mentioning, Bucks hold the tiebreaker over the Nets. Each team has 24 losses. Bucks have played one less game than the Nets. So obviously with their game tonight against the Rockets, they take care of that. And it looks like they'll solidify the 2 spot. Brooklyn will be the 3. And the Sixers pretty much insurmountable, I would say, at this point. A 3-game lead on both the Nets and the Bucks with, I think, 6 games to play. So I see the Sixers being the 1. And you know what? And with all that said, they don't scare me in the least.
No.
I think that the Nets are going to win the East, And if they don't, the Bucks win the East. But I don't give the Sixers, Knicks, Hawks, Celtics at the sixth seed right now would be my third choice for the East. I'm not looking at the Knicks or the Hawks and worrying about them a single bit. And I'm really not worried about the Sixers all that much either.
No, I think if James Harden gets healthy enough, quick enough, they should be fine. There's no reason why he should not be there at least by the end of the first round of the playoffs. That's the reason why I give it to the Nets in the Eastern Conference. I expect them to make it to the finals. I expect them to be the Eastern Conference champions. The Lakers, it's kind of an iffy situation, a little bit more of an iffy situation now. You've got LeBron saying on record that he'll never be 100% in his career. Joel doesn't necessarily believe it, but he is playing at a high level. And that's, you know, that's obviously the team that should be the biggest threat to the East in the event that the Nets do make it to the finals. So that's that. Are you going to watch? I'm pretty sure you're going to dual screen it. You'll gain it.
I will, yeah, and I'll go back and forth. Lord knows I can't put Netflix on my TV yet because of you. But let me say this. In talking about the East, those top three seeds aren't going anywhere. And it'll come down to those top three seeds in
Sixers,
the end.
Sixers, Nets.
In the West, Utah currently a one-game lead over Phoenix for the top two seeds. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if they got knocked out in the first round. If Golden State gets in through the play-in tournament and Steph and Draymond and those guys play Phoenix with that experience, they got a shot.
Against Phoenix?
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Oh, yeah. I agree 100%.
If Portland gets in through the play-in and ends up in, say, the 7 seed and takes on Utah, Jazz got their hands full.
They do. Although I do think Jazz ends up winning them, beating
probably
them
because
series.
Of home court, and Utah's a tough place to play.
Yeah. I still would pick the Jazz over the Blazers in a 7-game series. The Warriors is an interesting point
because
if they do go up against the Suns, I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, it's cut and dry. The Suns are going to absolutely beat the Warriors. Steph is playing at an all-time rate. You still got Draymond Green. The team is not absolutely terrible. They want to do something in the playoffs because it would be impressive to see what they can do in the absence of Klay Thompson.
Plus, it's a springboard for next year. Now, just like remember with the Suns. Suns went undefeated in the bubble, didn't even make the playoffs. But everybody remembers, not that they didn't make the playoffs, but that they won every game in the bubble. That was a building block and a springboard to this season. They make the Paul trade on top of that. Suddenly, they're fighting for the one seed in the conference, and they make the playoffs for the first time in the 11 years. So if you're the Warriors and you go, if we're capable of giving whoever we play, whether it be Utah or Phoenix in the first round, a long series, and even if we win it. But even if we don't, the fact that we know we've added a good young piece in Wiseman, but we've also added experienced veteran guys that can do it like Oubre and Wiggins. But we're getting, like you mentioned, we're getting Klay back. We have a chance to get Minnesota's top five pick. We're going to be damn good next year.
Yeah. And it's to your point, too. I think you're right. Like, if you had to choose two surprise teams, you mentioned both of them on each conference. I think the Warriors could be the surprise team on the West. And it's somehow, if you had to choose a team on the East, I guess it would be the Celtics. Maybe the Sixers, probably the Sixers as a surprise team.
Mm.
But I would say the Celtics. I would pick the Warriors on the West and the Celtics on the East as potential surprise teams in the playoffs in terms of their performance. Because they do still have a lot of talent, both of those squads.
In the East, I don't see anybody. Oh, you know what? You know who's going to be a surprise team? And I say this only because of how disappointing their regular season has been. But if Miami finishes.
I knew it was Jimmy Butler's squad.
Miami's the 7 seed currently and would have to play through the play-in tournament. But if Miami gets in, they could take. I could see them giving the Sixers a run if they have to play them in the first round. I don't think that they have any chance against the Nets. They've always played the Bucks well, and they might even be able. So of the three top seeds in the East, Miami, if they play the Bucks or the Sixers, could give them a run for their money too.
Yeah, but it also depends on the matchup. Jimmy Butler is going to need some more help. It does depend on the matchup, though. He has a better chance beating one team over the other. He probably has a better chance beating the.
They beat the Bucks last year.
The Bucks than the Sixers. I was going to say, yeah.
I don't know though, Nick, because you know what. You look at what strengths Philly has. They have Embiid. But you can put Bama Adebayo on him. So now you've got a guy that matches up with him. Then you look at Ben Simmons, who can't shoot, but he's a hell of a ball handler. You could put Butler on him, and he's got his hands full. Okay? Now, are you worried about Tobias Harris, or are you worrying about all of the young weapons that the Heat have? I don't think I'm worried about Victor Oladipo, but I'm saying we know what they did last year with Hero and Robinson from the outside. None as the young point guard that can do some things. Dragic is healthy. They could give one of those. They could give the Sixers a run. They could give the Bucks a run. But I don't think they can be. I don't think any of the low seeds can beat the Nets just because there's just too much firepower.
Yeah, that's like we said, it's a cheat code. And could you imagine the Nets had Wallace didn't have his incident? Like, if he didn't have his health issues, like, that team would be beyond a cheat code because you would have had Griffin and Wallace. Then you have Hart. In terms of their core, you have Harden.
Oh, you're talking about Aldridge.
I mean, Aldridge. Why did I say Wallace? That was not cool of me. I don't know why I said Aldridge. Wallace. Yeah. I meant LaMarcus Aldridge. But could you imagine if LaMarcus Aldridge didn't have that health situation and he was on that team? Yeah. Then you would have a 35 or a 36-year-old Aldridge, which is not incredibly old, but he's still going to give you decent minutes in the event that he didn't have that health issue. Then you have Griffin, who you've been high on because Charlie hasn't been high on. No, and then you've got Irving, you've got LeBron. I mean, not LeBron. You've got KD, and you've got Harden. You still got Harris being able to shoot the ball. That's like beyond a cheat code.
You're right. But if you remember, Polillo told me Blake Griffin was done. Polillo told me he didn't have a dunk all year, and he wouldn't have one for the Nets. And I fought him on it.
Because they stuck to that dunk stat. People in the media.
It's a stupid stat.
They were looking at that, he hasn't had a slam dunk in how many? You looked at that stat too deeply. He was eventually going to get another dunk.
Let me just tell you something. One of those two Milwaukee games over the weekend or whatever it was, Tuesday night or Sunday, he went up over two guys and kept rising and hammered it on both of them. I was going to tweet right then and there, hey, Charlie, are you watching this?
Yeah. But I knew that stat was stupid. It was just for fun. It was a talking point more than anything.
Well, it's also the fact that he was in a hellhole in Detroit with a team going nowhere, with no sense of any kind of direction or coaching or otherwise, to where what was he playing for? But when he got on a team with a chance to win a chip,
he had to.
He
act
proved
like,
he still got plenty left in the tank. Well, and you're right. If Aldridge is on that squad,
oh, it's beyond unfair. Well, he had to act like he liked the Detroit Pistons. We're talking about Griffin here because the Clippers clearly gave up on him. The way he found out, he wasn't appreciative. He clearly went from one team to another that was significantly worse than the Clippers. So he had to act like he loved that team and he was down for the team at first. But then it became, well, you know what? Realistically, this team is not going to add anybody on this roster that's going to make them a championship level. Let me hop on somewhere else now that I can. And see if I can win a chip somewhere else. It's the best decision Griffin could have. Look, you know what? The fact that the Clippers traded away Griffin, I know he didn't feel happy about it, but it might be a blessing in disguise because now you have a real opportunity to win a championship with Brooklyn.
And you think about the guys that could have got their first ring out of just being smart and being picked up by the Nets, but Aldridge, Griffin, Harden, all sitting on a chance to win their first ring because of the fact that the timing was right.
So, he has a chance now. It's going to be past his prime, but he still has a chance to win a chip. And
you worried
I still
about
think
the Lakers?
A little bit less than I was. I will say that because I remember I was the guy running my mouth about the Lakers. The Nets look unfair. The Nets look too damn unfair.
But the Lakers match up if they're healthy. The biggest question is, can they be healthy? Last night, again, back spasms and a sprained ankle for Anthony Davis. LeBron, as you said, never going to be 100%, but still sitting out games, not knowing when he's going to return. And then we get to what we were talking about with the Nets. When do you start building that chemistry back up with your own squad when it means the most in the playoffs? The Lakers should be the favorite in the West, but the way they're playing and with their injuries more than anything else, they might not even see the conference final.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to talk about a little bit about the Aaron Rodgers situation. Not to make you mad, Joel, but I do want to discuss that also. Someone was claimed off a waiver wire. We'll talk about that much more. It's probably a pretty good addition for this Eagle squad, if you want to talk about that and much more.
There you have that and a whole lot more. Stay tuned for more of the Press Box, ESPN.
If you can't get enough of your favorite ESPN 97.5 show, we've got just the thing for you. And it's not f***ing safe for work.
Won't somebody please think of the children?
For all the uncensored interaction, head over to twitch.tv/ESPN975.
Say what?
You're-
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box. About 45 minutes, a little less, to go in the program. Taking it till 4. Fred Davis, Henry Thomas, the HD show, filling in for the Blitz. Blitz is on vacation. So those guys, friends of the show and friends of the station, are going to be filling in. As had some good fill-ins this week for Fred and AJ. Nick mentioned this, but some news in the NFL. The first one is interesting in that DK Metcalf is not only serious about running the 100 meters in a couple of track meets coming up, he's dead serious about trying to make it like an Olympic thing. Like he thinks, wow. And if you remember that play this last season in the NFL where he came from like 45 yards back when that ball against the Cardinals, I say go for it.
No question, he's athletic. Didn't even see that news on the way. I didn't see that on the wire at all. I wasn't even referring to that. Did you see the other one?
Yes, I did.
The Eagles claimed
Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah, they claimed Kerryon Johnson off waivers. So now they have the former Lions number. Was it a second round pick, I believe? I believe he was a second round pick.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
But he turned out to be a pretty good running back, and now he's on waivers, or was on waivers, and now the Eagles pick him up. That's the latest from Adam Schefter, Tom Pelissero, Ian Rappaport, and others. And that's the latest update on the NFL front. I wanted to play this because it kind of goes to the point that you were talking about all along in regards to Aaron Rodgers. And I know some people don't like us talking about the Aaron Rodgers situation, but in most cases, we do not spend a great deal on it. But I did want to play this audio clip for you from James Jones. First, he says it's a fixable situation. But more importantly, this is what he had to say about the general manager.
You know, it's crazy. You listen to all those people talk on there, man, and everybody has the answers and everybody knows exactly what's going on, man. But, you know, I speak with Aaron all the time. I talk to him a lot, and it has nothing to do about getting the GM fired. It has nothing to do about getting a new contract and getting money. You know what I mean? Everything that Aaron Rodgers has done since he's been a Green Bay Packer, this is not him. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and leak all this stuff and say he wants out of there and be giving all this stuff to the media. That's never been him. And AJ knows. AJ's been around him a long time, spent a lot of time with him. That's not him. So whoever leaked this or whoever's coming out saying that, as a friend of Aaron Rodgers, I can say that it's not him. And it's never been him to do anything like that.
I heard this last night. I heard the whole interview. I had friends from back home that hadn't heard it. And when they did, this coupled with what John Kuhn said yesterday after the CBS radio interviews. And I think the three play for this, Nick, was you take what Jones just said, you take what Kuhn said yesterday, and then you take the fact that Dan Patrick called out Adam Schefter and got to the bottom of the fact that there was no new news and breaking news and no rhyme or reason other than clicks and ratings to bring up Rodgers wanted a trade, which he concocted based on the last 3 or 4 months of a less than settled situation. And I've been as encouraged as I've been that he's coming back.
Do you believe really in your heart and heart, like, do you really believe deep down that he doesn't want this general manager fired?
No. I believe that the number one issue he has, and in talking to other people as well, is with Brian Gutekunst.
Well, that's the problem I have with that clip. Other than that, I like what he's saying. Now, he's a former teammate, won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers against the Steelers. Obviously, he's not going to paint Aaron Rodgers in the picture, but you look at those quotes, Joel, and I'm playing devil's advocate here. You look at those quotes, he's clearly trying to defend and paint him in a positive light. He mentions the fact that the media is portraying him unfairly. He mentions the fact that he's not a type of guy that wants to fire people. He mentions the fact that it has nothing to do with the general manager or the fact that it has anything to do with the money, despite the fact that the Green Bay Packers, according to reports, gave him the offer or made the offer to him. So it does kind of bring some question in the whole relationship with Aaron Rodgers in the front office.
Here's what I'll say. He got pretty much everything on Aaron Wright about being a guy that doesn't want anything out there in the media. But in terms of the specifics you're getting to, he may not want him fired or be the guy that gets him fired.
But he's still what he wants.
He wants him out of his business, right? Because Aaron Rodgers was drafted by Ted Thompson. So when Ted Thompson was the GM, rest in peace, because Ted passed away this year. When Ted Thompson was the GM, there was a respect factor both ways. Ted respected one of the greatest, if not the greatest draft pick he ever made. Aaron respected him for taking a chance when, you remember, all those 20-some teams passed on him. Gutekunst comes in with no resume, with no connection. And what he does is, instead of solidifying a relationship with his best player, he does the exact opposite. And then when the draft comes up, you don't even courtesy call your best player to say, hey, man, don't take this personally. We're not trying to replace you. We're trying to prepare the quarterback position for with you and then after you. But the fact that you don't even make a courtesy call and you trade up to get the quarterback when everybody knows you needed a receiver and it's all on the GM's shoulders, you may not want him fired. You don't want him involved in anything that you do.
Yeah. And that's, and I can see that. I can see a situation where he's like, look, I don't care if the general manager is here. Just keep him out of my way and give me everything I want. And then he doesn't give a damn. I guarantee you he wouldn't mind having a relationship where he's still playing, he's still the man, still calling the shots, but he doesn't have to have this massive dialogue or line of communication with the GM. I guarantee you he no would doubt. Love the dynamic.
Because look, we heard LaFleur. LaFleur was basically gushing all over him as a person and as a player, and that the fact that he doesn't want him to go, and that should send the clearest clearest message that anybody needs to hear with that franchise. President, GM, hey, guess what? If the head coach who you did hire only wants this guy as your quarterback, what the hell are you doing?
I don't know. And look, the other side of that is LaFleur is not stupid. Him coming out against Aaron Rodgers probably won't do well for his job.
Well, time out, Nick. I want to flip side that to you. You say he's not stupid, but who hired him? Gutekunst hired him. And Mark Murphy hired him, the president. Well, so you don't want to piss them off either, because in essence, you're coming out siding with Aaron and saying, I'm not a part of all this.
But he can go up to his boss and say, look, don't get me twisted. You're not going to get me on record in the public saying I don't want Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback. He could go up to him and say, you know what? I'm just letting you know I'm saying this. I'm letting you know I'm saying this. Because, look, at the end of the day, the last thing he needs is a soured relationship with the quarterback, because I still think that can outweigh the fact that he got hired by him. He really can. The last thing he's going to do is come out and say, you know what? I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. That's like the last thing LaFleur wants to say. The last thing.
I just hope it ends well. Because
he's still in that uniform.
Yeah, and I'm hearing everybody that's saying, oh, Denver has more weapons. No, they don't. And you know what? And again, what we always talk about on this program is any quarterback in a new situation joining a new team, and it took Brady almost a year, but it takes about a year to really get back on the pace.
Understand.
Everybody get on the same page, understand all the nuances of the system. So I think, and because Aaron's a stickler with route running and the preciseness of the routes, you take all those guys they got in Denver, they're all in their first, second year, and they haven't played for any quarterback that's been like Aaron. It would be a huge shock to a lot of people. That too, I just hope it works itself out, and for obviously selfish reasons too. All right, that's the first half hour of the final hour of the program. 30 minutes on the clock when we come back. Still more to get to. If you guys want to join Nick and myself, please do. It's the Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final 30 minutes of another good week on The Press Box, and that always includes you guys. We love the dialogue, especially the good back and forth and discussions we get going on Twitch. We do check the text messages throughout the program, unlike certain other shows, but we're pretty much the most interactive show on this station, and with good reason, because we enjoy the interactions and the feedback and some of the relationships we've developed from that. So 30 minutes, Nick, what do you got? You got stuff that you always want to get to?
More Packers talk.
Yeah, gee.
I mean, I get the blame. You get the blame, but I'm the one who talks about it.
And that's what I don't understand. It's like, and here's a little insight for you guys, too, because I heard the bench this morning when this Ricky guy raided all the guys on the station. And you know what? I take to heart when people say things about the show and how we do things. Just like when I said that David from Apollo Health said sometimes in the 3 o'clock hour, if he doesn't get in right away, he misses headlines. So we did them a little later today so that everybody gets a chance to catch up on what's going on in the sports world, as well as the other stuff we're talking about, which may or may not be sports related. But when I got started, when I left the Rockets, and I got started thinking about doing radio, I wasn't sure if I should do it or not. And I had a conversation with Lance. And Lance gave me a ton of good advice. And one of the main things he said was, you want to form a connection with your listeners. And he said, and the easiest way to do that, aside from being knowledgeable on sports, is you share personal stuff with them. You share stuff about your family. You share stuff about your background. You share stuff about your experiences outside of the sports world, because people feel like they know you. And then they have a connection, so they want to keep coming back.
That's so true.
So that's why, and that's why if Lisa comes up, it's not because she's on TV, because I could care less. I bring up my wife because she's my wife, just like Lance brings up his, or John brings up his, or Fred or AJ bring up theirs, regardless. That's my point. So like the Packers talk, I'm not trying to jam it down your throat. And we only do it when there is personal information, or like, not just like, you, Nick.
Jones spoke about it.
Yeah, or during the season, if someone on Twitch or the text line or whatever goes, hey, Joel, what happened Sunday, and what did you see based on this or that in the Packer game? I'll give you an answer. That's what I'm here to do.
Well, I mean, look, that's kind of the nature of the business, right? Because you do want to kind of let people in and give them your personal side. But once you do that and you be honest, a lot of times people don't like that. That's why I've been getting the business, because I told everybody who's married that they don't get laid and they're practically on the hub most of their lives. So they're all mad at me for that. But at the end of the day, it's really just discussion. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody.
You know? And you know what? That's why, at least, again, like we said, when we're the most interactive, in those interactions, if we hear you guys. So if it's valuable stuff, we take it to heart to discuss it, to figure out if there's a way to do it differently. We're not telling you this is the end all be all. So that's that. And yeah, we can move on from there.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that out of the way.
Yeah, that's fine.
Nick, I hate to do this to you because of the fact that we already had one of these, and we both agreed that this is one that's gotten to us more than something else. But we mentioned the guy that was throwing around his colostomy bag, right?
We did.
Now, here's another one, and this is one that I need your opinion on, because I'm leaning BS on this one in terms of if it happened or not. But a New Jersey woman claims a McDonald's wrapper that she got from the drive-thru was smeared with feces. And she's accusing McDonald's of selling her a burger wrapped in smeared poop. Now, McDonald's is denying the claim and said an internal investigation does not add up to what Amanda Bordois' allegations are. But she says she went to a drive-thru window on January the 13th. She claimed that her daughter reached into the bag to pull out a burger and noticed a brown substance all over the wrapper of the burger and on her right hand. Citing a horrible stench as well, nauseous and disgusted and sick, she just let her child consume French fries in the bag that touched the wrapper. She filed suit.
Florida, right? Where'd you say this?
New Jersey.
Nah, I don't believe it. That was in Florida. That's in Dell's country.
I looked into the bag and observed what appeared to be feces on the wrapper of a burger in the bag.
Complain as if you're Les Alexander right now. Let's say Les Alexander was served.
Isn't McDonald's great? They have the greatest hamburgers in the world. We can always have the fries too. Yeah.
No, but he just got a bag full of poop, and he's angry.
This is why I call BS. Who's got time to smear poop on a burger when you're doing fast food as quickly as they are, no matter what the conditions are in the kitchen?
Agreed. Why would you even do that? I don't understand why.
Because you're looking for money. I think this is a complete money grab. Because remember now, the whole Seinfeld spinoff of the fact, hot coffee, if you're the dumbass that dumps it on your lap, but you can sue McDonald's because it was too hot.
Well, there's a massive misconception on that one.
But I think that gets the wheels turning in people's minds and goes.
Oh, yeah, the fact that you can just. Yeah. Well, I think it's just the fact that you can get sued for anything in this country. I blame it on the fact that you can sue anybody for anything, even if it's there's no.
It just seems to me this is a cash grab.
It might be. But it's also disgusting because if that happened, I would be recording video. I'm like, listen, look, this is what I just got from this nasty ass McDonald's. That's what I would say.
No, because it's weird, because the officer said that they looked into the bag and observed the feces. Now, I don't know how old the daughter was that was eating the fries, but if she's loading up a diaper, that's always a possibility, too. Yeah. Now, if you really want to get technical and test the feces and match it up with the kid or someone in the car.
What?
You can break it down to figure out where it came from.
Really? How do you do that, Joel?
I mean, I'm not a freaking medical expert.
You're a feces expert, clearly.
No, but I'm saying that, like, between, and I don't think it's a genetic code or anything like that, but I think that if you analyze the excrement, you can tell from it if you measured up to the same sample of the humans, can't you?
I guess. I don't know. I don't really pay attention to poop like that.
I'm saying it from a biological, from a medical perspective, Nick. I don't pay attention to poop like that either. So the cop says he observed it in the bag.
And?
The McDonald's says that we took appropriate steps to investigate, unable to substantiate the claim. She told the paper no health officials ever collected the evidence, and we actually saved it. Okay, so that's another issue. See,
that's probably required by the police, I would imagine.
No, the woman saved it because she said the health officials who should have didn't.
Oh, yeah,
a problem.
That is a problem. That is a massive problem. Why are you touching that? Why are you trying to keep a sample?
But I'm saying if you're the health department, I believe that if you got the samples, you could analyze the samples to try and figure out
where it came from.
Yeah, and if there's a match.
I don't know. I get what you're saying. I just don't know if they're going to go. They're going to really go through that trouble? That's crazy.
Depends on how big the lawsuit is and how adamant she is about going, seeing it through. She's probably just looking for a settlement. And I don't think like a year's worth of burgers is going to do the trick. Okay. It's called DNA, dummies. Right. So you do the DNA test on the fecal samples. I used a big word for you. You happy now? 713 or 281? God, this is... Okay. So there's that story, Nick. Go ahead. Turn the page.
A lot of people are just so angry. I'm just looking at the text messages because they're so... They're like, what is this, like a poop show? I don't know. All right, let's talk about this Mayweather situation. Apparently, Mayweather is getting... Or at least Jake Paul is getting under the skin of Floyd Mayweather. And it's unbelievable to me how much traction Jake Paul has been able to gain. But it's all because these older dudes are allowing it to happen. If the guy pulls... your cap off of your head, Floyd. Don't go out there and follow him. Otherwise, he'll get the attention. But this is the exchange between Floyd Mayweather and Jake Paul.
Floyd's the king of cap, bro. You're the king of cap. You ain't a boxer anymore, champ.
You're right.
You're tired. You're old.
Very, very old.
You a grandpa.
Very wise.
Your kids have kids.
My kids have kids. Love my kids. Love my grandkids. And guess what? I'm going to treat you just like you're one of my grandkids. I'm going to tell you up. One bum, two bums.
It's amazing he's taking this. Like, what did Floyd Mayweather think was going to happen if he took this fight? If you really don't need the money, why take this fight? Because it's only going to give attention to Paul
right.
And Logan Paul and Jake Paul and the Paul brothers and their YouTube platform. So why take this fight? And how old are you? Are you like 44, 45? I'm not saying you're going to lose the fight, but isn't it a risk? You want to get punched in the face? You're getting older. You're going to realize one day that your chin's not going to hold up. And Logan Paul's not, I think he's like 0-1-1 or
so he's been banned from attending the fight now, right? Because that was the brother that's
I didn't know.
Fighting.
That's an update that I didn't see.
Yeah.
Jake Paul?
Yeah, no. So he's fighting Jake Paul.
He's fighting Logan Paul. So I'm assuming Jake Paul is the
The one that started it is not the one fighting him. So therefore, he's been banned.
Yeah, because he has the gotcha hat. He got the tattoo.
Yeah, now he's already got the tattoo.
Yeah.
And then on top of all that, in trying to keep up with it this morning, he also made a couple, you know, it's one thing to hype it up from McGregor and Floyd back in the day where, you know what, you play the game and stage the conflict so that more people buy pay-per-view or attend, right? But one of the comments supposedly made by Paul to Floyd was about the fact you're really not undefeated but you actually get an extra win and an extra loss or something like that because I saw the punches you threw against your wife or your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. He went the domestic.
It's like, if you go that route.
He's definitely going to go that route. Jake Paul's definitely. That's what he does. I mean, he did it with Conor McGregor talking about his wife. He says it's a four at best, you know. Although I don't feel as bad with Conor McGregor because Conor McGregor outright called Habib's dad a coward. And so I don't feel as bad. But that's what Jake Paul will do. He'll absolutely make it personal. He'll talk about your wife. He'll talk about your girlfriend. He'll talk about your family. He will definitely make it dirty like that. He did it with Conor McGregor. He did it with Ben Askren before he knocked him out. He started calling Ben Askren's wife thick. And someone on the Twitch said it's probably staged. I'm not saying it. None of it is staged. But a part of it is serious because Paul, of course, is going to go over there and start saying those things. He's going to think of anything he can to aggravate Mayweather in his camp.
It's what's made him a known name in sports and social media and otherwise. This is all he does. So he has no boundaries. He has no limits. He has no filter. He just doesn't realize that it's one thing to get in a ring and fight other guys with the same kind of amateur background or close. When you start talking about a guy like Floyd, no matter what age he is, with his experience, and he can still float around a little bit, and he can actually really box.
I don't care he loses. I don't think Logan cares that he loses. It's a payday.
It's just attention.
It's a massive payday for him. If he loses, does it matter? Does it really matter? And you still got Jake. He's still attached to his brother. His brother hasn't lost.
Those two dudes, who really had no resume to be anywhere near where they are killing it cash-wise because of just doing exactly what you just said. Just sensationalizing and crossing the line.
Yeah, I just wish this fight is not something we were talking about. And I guess that makes me just as guilty. Look, the PFL had a great fight card. It was on ESPN last night. It was a great fight card. No one's really talking about it. People are talking about that. There was some unfortunate... There was a controversial finish with Fabricio Werdum. You know? Mm-hmm. There's a fight card in Toyota Center next weekend. Like, but this is what everybody's talking about. It's unfortunate.
He's selling hats too, like the one he
got. The gotcha hat. Yeah. That's Jake Paul because he got a tattoo.
Yeah, the tattoo already.
He's trying to benefit from it.
Well, that should tell everybody everything they needed to know. If the tattoo got done that quickly, this was planned.
In his house. Yeah. He posted the video of it in his house. He has a massive ass house, by the way.
Again, unbelievable.
It is massive.
Yeah, but you know what? That's marketing. All right, one segment to go on the show. We wrap it up for the week. It's Press Box ESPN.
Hello! To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the week. It's The Press Box on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM with Nick and myself. Nick with a marathon day as he not only
produced This Week in Baseball, but because it was him and Dell, it was actually entertaining radio, and then stepped right in to do our
show. Some people enjoyed the show. Some people didn't.
Did you catch some heat?
I didn't look. I didn't look at the tech. I didn't even look at Twitch that much. I did catch some heat again because I talked about the car door situation.
Oh, that's right.
So anytime I make fun of that, people get mad. Anytime I make, I feel like, is it true that married people are more sensitive than single people?
I think it's just, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I mean, they were, Dell and John were hammering Lance this morning about being the most sensitive of the three of them. And I think that, and I've been accused of it many times too, and I'm guilty of it more times than not in a lot of cases too. I think it's just, there's a lot that goes into it, but yeah. I think it's each individual.
I mean, I get angry too, but I'm starting to do a pretty good job of not caring.
It's hard to do sometimes. It's hard because, you know, like from our perspective, we're in a glass house, right? People see us on Twitch and they can analyze everything we're wearing and doing. And we've talked in time and time again. I saw you do that. What did you do there? And then if you turn the audio down or they miss something, well, why don't we get that too? You're already getting more than most.
Yeah, the behind the scenes aspect, you're getting a lot. I mean, I'm saying a lot of crazy crap behind the scenes. Joel is too. Even Charlie's interacting with you guys.
I had some S-bombs the other day and people were like, oh my God, I had to stop because he's, I mean, do you think, I mean, if that's what you think, that's on you. Yeah. But I mean, we know what we have to do for the FCC, but if this was satellite radio, I'm sure it would happen really frequent. I have to catch myself sometimes when we get passionate about certain topics.
Yeah.
Where if it was just me and you at a bar doing it, yeah, I would probably be full of plenty of expletives too. But the point I'm making is we're in glass houses. You can watch us on Twitch. You can catch us in the breaks. You can see everything that we're doing for three straight hours. And then on top of it, if part of what you're adding or trying to add to the show is criticism of us and seeing everything that we do, the easiest answer I have is, so where do you work? Where do you live?
Yeah.
You know, who are you married to?
Yeah.
What are you doing? All this? And then we'll start critiquing you. It ain't fun when it happens on a daily basis.
Well, the funny thing is when I have like secret haters, I've been told by like from other like people, like sponsorships and old sponsors and stuff like that, like people that have owned companies and have done business with us. It's like, the thing is, Nick, you got a bunch of secret haters. And I know my haters are being like, it's increasing. Like, I get it. I'm getting more hate because I'm talking more, and I get it. And that comes with
the process. Territory.
That's fine. And people are saying, Nick, you've become this ultimate troll. And I admit, I'll troll sometimes. But when you talk about the topics that I've talked about in the past that's gotten people riled up, don't sit there and say for one second that I'm not being honest. Don't think for one second that I wasn't being honest about the car door situation. I wasn't trying to be a dick towards anybody, and I wasn't trying to be mean, but that's just the way it was. You know, and I can be an absolute troll. I can absolutely drive you crazy if I wanted to. I can make the most sane person crazy. Believe me, I'm capable of doing it. But I mean, I try to be fun about it. And then every once in a while, someone will get on. Like if I'm honest and you're mad, that's when I really don't care.
Or someone brings up on Twitch, oh, Joel with another rocket story. First of all, I don't think I did that today. But even if I did, it's only to enhance a conversation by giving you guys some insight as to the behind the scenes of how the Rockets work how, you know, players are or the organization is or whatever the case. It does me no good to just talk about where I used to work because I used to work there. I don't work there anymore.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You worked there for 23 years, so it doesn't matter. I mean, when the whole situation with Tad Brown came out, wasn't the Blitz hitting you up about – Why were they hitting you up? Because you had a relationship
with Tad.
Why did
this happen? What happened to him?
Of course. Yep. So, I mean, people don't get it sometimes. So I guess we have to understand that some of them are just idiots and they don't know. But, you know, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, and then someone said Joel throwing shade on his ex-co-host. I don't know who they mean by that, whether it be Charlie or Barry, but they're both my friends. I talked to Barry again the other day, yesterday. And we communicate all the time.
I talked to Barry yesterday. Yeah, I called him yesterday. So I don't get – people are – they're just going to come to their own conclusions. They're going to come to their own conclusions. And AJ deals with it too, you know. AJ deals with it. Fred deals with it.
Well, and that's the other thing that people don't understand. Just because we got separated, it wasn't our choice, and it doesn't alter the friendship that we built and the relationship that we built along the way. So – whether we did this show or not, I'm quite confident in saying that Barry and Nick and myself would communicate regularly, both through social media and texts and calls and everything else.
And the guy was talking about you just making that little joke about calling Charlie Pulillo's show Baseball Today. So that's the former co-host he was talking about.
Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, and that's fine because Charlie knows the same thing that Nick and I both. It just goes to Nick. What's the guy that you reference? The Hall of Famer that Stan Musial.
Oh, Musial. Instead of Stan Musial. He's the man.
Yeah.
People still get mad when I say that. The guy's been, he was born like 100 years ago.
Here's where I think that what I want you guys to kind of absorb in all of this is to continue to move forward. We see a niche by communicating more with our listeners. That's why when I say that we communicate more than any other show on all the platforms, it's with a purpose because we want to build that relationship with you. Because I personally enjoy, like we're on a remote, I still love doing the Twitch because I might miss something or I might miss a perspective that you bring to the table. And I said the same thing to Nick. Call me out on something if I see something or I'm doing it wrong. Because Nick's got a boatload of experience nationally and locally with shows too. And that's part of making the show better on a daily basis. And that's what we're after because we love doing what we do. We just want to do it so that it pleases you guys as well.
So, what are you going to do this weekend?
I was going to say.
What's the big plans for you and Lisa? It's going down this weekend, right?
I guess the downer is one of my best friends passed away during the pandemic.
Oh, no.
So they paused the funeral until the people could congregate again.
Okay.
So now Saturday night, they're having, instead of a funeral, having like a remembrance of life. And it would have been his birthday. And I'm kind of mixed about it because he was such a great friend. It's like, I mean, I want to pay my respects. At the same time, I'm torn because it really sucks that he's gone. And then, you know, as time passes, you're like, man, I don't want to go back into that, get into that feeling again.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Well,
and of course, with Mother's Day.
That's not a good weekend. Like, I thought you guys were going to make up for what y'all missed on Cinco de Mayo and get shots of tequila.
Oh, there's no doubt. We'll get food like we normally do. And then for Mother's Day Sunday, it'll be a big day for Lisa and with the girls. And the girls want to, you know, make cards and do things for Mom. So we'll take care of all of that for Sunday. But, I mean, that's standard family life in suburbia. I'm sure you've got a lot more excitement on your...
No, I need to lay back. I might do like a 30-day thing, by the way. I know you don't believe me, but I might do like a 30-day thing where I don't drink or I don't do anything for like 30 straight days. It's getting to that 30 time.
30 days.
30 days. No drinking. Not a drop of alcohol. I don't know when I'm going to start, but it's going to start soon. For sure.
How can we verify this?
You can't, really. I guess you're just going to have to...
Taking
presume
your word
I'm
for
telling
it's
the
not
going to
be good enough for me. Because otherwise I'd put up a calendar and we could do a daily update. But I just believe that there's going to be times that you're going to fudge the truth.
I say that now and I'm looking at the clock knowing that we're about to get off the air. And the only thing I can think of is tequila.
Well, there you go.
Alcohol is the only thing I can think about right now.
Well, good luck with that 30 days. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. Freddie D is coming up next. And then Henry will join him in the HD experience. As they'll take you all the way till 7 o'clock, filling in for the Blitz. For Nick and myself, we'll be back on Monday. Hopefully so will you. And we'll talk to you then on ESPN 97.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week, we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.